Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay and had a good weekend. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Monday, September the 29th. Coming up, bus fares in a part of Kent go up. We've got reaction. There's shock as dogs are dumped by a roadside in Kent. And the Gillingham manager will miss a number of games as he has heart surgery. But first, this is our most read story on the website today. A hearing's been told how a young man died in a tragic accident on a railway line in Kent as he attempted to leave the UK. Well, Kate joins me now with more on this. Kate, when did this all happen?
Well, this was in September last year as Abdurraf Bentayba tried to cross the tracks in the middle of the night near the Motus Lorry Park in Dover with two friends. An inquest has been told the 25-year-old had breached bail conditions and feared he'd be detained and then deported. He was electrocuted by the third rail. His friends desperately tried to save him by dragging him from the track and doing CPR. They also made a 999 call but had low battery and the phone cut out, so they ended up leaving him on wasteland.
And what happened when emergency services arrived?
Well, they discovered Mr. Bentayba around 40 minutes after the initial call, and the Algerian national was later pronounced dead. A murder investigation was initially launched. Police found his two friends at Manchester Piccadilly Station after tracking the mobile phone that had made the emergency call. But after questioning the pair, any suspicious circumstances were ruled out.
Do we know where the three were planning to go?
Well, it's understood Spain had been discussed as a possible destination, although it's unclear exactly how they plan to get there. The inquest also heard how Mr. Bentayba had applied for a six-month visitor visa in 2022 and failed to leave after it ran out in August 2023. He had a Class B drugs conviction and was on bail for motoring offences and obstructing a police officer. Following his death, drugs were also found in his system, including cannabis and cocaine.
And what did the coroner conclude, Kate?
Well, Katrina Hepburn said the drugs were not relevant to the cause of death and there was no evidence of third-party involvement. She said it was unclear how he ended up touching the third rail, whether he tripped and fell or stepped onto it, not knowing it was live. She reached a conclusion of death by misadventure and made several recommendations to the British Transport Police. Following the hearing, they issued a statement saying, "Our thoughts are with Mr. Bentayba's loved ones and we ask that their privacy is respected."
Kate, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
Three people have died over the weekend trying to cross the channel to Kent. Two women lost their lives along with a young person in a separate incident. Nearly 900 asylum seekers arrived in the county on Saturday with one boat carrying a record 125 people. A man's in a critical condition in hospital following a suspected hit and run in Faversham. The 65-year-old was knocked down while walking in the North Lane area on Saturday evening. Three people have since been arrested and police have seized a flatbed tipper van as part of their investigation. A drug addict from Chatham has been described as a one-woman crime wave after admitting shoplifting and threatening behaviour. Terry Aldridge threw a bottle of fairy liquid at a co-op worker and verbally abused a member of staff at Morrison's. The 38-year-old from Magpie Hall Road in Chatham has 126 previous offences and is due to be sentenced in November. Now, there's been a mixed reaction to new bus fares that have come into force in parts of Kent. Stagecoach have increased their prices by 10p for short or medium length journeys. It's the second time they've put fares up this year. Megan Shaw from our colleagues at KMTV has been chatting to people about it in Maidstone.
Bus fares going up is really affecting the common family, especially with those with children. It's really hard to kind of bring your kids in for kind of like a day in the town because it's couple of quid each way and it's just getting expensive, you know, especially if you've got a big family, or even if you're just popping up a couple of stops, because sometimes they charge you the same price if you're going two stops or 16, you know, sometimes it's just getting a bit out of hand.
Have there been instances where you've had to choose, like,
yes, you know? No, I mean I will walk into town most times purely because it just seems unnecessary the amount of money that we have to spend on the buses now. I didn't stop taking other forms of transport because the bus was cheaper. Now it's almost getting to be the same as it was. If me and my kids want to come into town, it's the same as getting a taxi each way.
It's a good idea because they do provide a good service. They always turn up on time. They come from Canterbury, Ashford, Simble, wherever. They're on time, not like this lot behind you, Arriva. They turn up any old time.
So you're willing to pay more for a bus service?
Yes.
If it's good?
Yes. Yeah, that's what problem is. There's no competition in Maidstone. It's the one coming in, that's it. If there's a stagecoach, which everyone wants in Maidstone, be better service for everyone.
I think that it's totally wrong, because the fact that the living wage is not quite right, people can't object. It's just forced on. People should be asked, and we should be allowed to pay what we think is the correct price. We've got so many other bills to pay. The bus fares should be subsidised by the local council.
Well, Stagecoach have told us they need the extra money to cover the daily costs of running local services. That includes fuel, staff wages and vehicle maintenance.
Kent Online reports.
A Sellinge man who used his friend's driver's licence as ID after being pulled over by police has been banned from the road. The 26-year-old told a court he panicked when officers stopped him for speeding in Ashford, causing his friend to receive 6 points on his licence and a £660 fine. He's now been banned for 12 months and must pay £1,200 in compensation. Vandals have been criticised for spray painting crosses on the outside of a Kent mosque. The graffiti appeared on the side of the Sittingbourne Islamic Cultural Centre on Hawthorne Road in the early hours of Friday. It's been reported to police. A Kent landlord who was once branded Britain's most controversial says he has just months to live. Fergus Wilson has been diagnosed with prostate cancer. The 77-year-old from Bournemouth-on-Chelsea says he hopes to live until February, when he has a date for a court appearance after being accused of using threatening behaviour and racially aggravated harassment. Now, the trial has been delayed 13 times already, and he's told us he wants to clear his name. People living in Ashford say a new border security facility looks like a prison and lights up the sky like a sports stadium. The Sevington Inland Border Facility was built to carry out checks on goods going in and out of the UK following Brexit. It opened next to Junction 10A back in 2021 under a 5-year temporary arrangement. The planning inspectorate is going to have a final say on whether it stays. Meantime, plans for 100 new homes and sports facilities in a village near Maidstone have been delayed again. Residents in Lenham have been waiting 6 years for a decision on the development of Old Ashford Road. A committee's deferred the decision so they can consult Sport England and the County Council, with another hearing due next month. John Britt is the chairman of Lenham Parish Council.
But it does put the whole thing back, which is disappointing. And I think that given the issues that were raised about density, you know, they were talking about a density of 30 dwellings per hectare or just over, and the fact that Maidstone is about to consult on Heathlands, which has a minimum density of 40 dwellings per hectare, which will be adjacent to this potential development once it's built. It did seem to be a little bit of a contradiction there. So this plan has within it a proposal to increase the recreation facility, which is currently at William Pitt Field. So it will increase the recreation facility considerably over what's available at William Pitt Field. Plus, there will be additionality at the new site for not just football, but other recreational facilities. I don't know, basketball, netball, anything, you know, once we get ourselves sorted out. But all of that was set out both within the officer's report and within the Lenham neighbourhood plan, that the link between the development at East Lenham Farm and the moving from William Pitt Field to the new site at East Lenham Farm for the recreational facilities.
Kent Online reports.
The use of a private security firm to help patrol the streets of Herne Bay is going to be reviewed. Acon Security were awarded more than £8,000 to take part in the trial over the summer holidays in a crackdown on antisocial behaviour. Council bosses say if the initiative has proven successful, they'll consider using it again. Firefighters have been called to a house in Aylsham after a wheelie bin caught alight. The blaze broke out behind a property on Coronation Close at around 11:30 yesterday. We're told no one was hurt and crews are unsure how it started. A community centre in Medway, which residents say has saved lives, is celebrating its 10th anniversary. The Magpie Centre in Luton provides mental health support, help with managing family budgets and puts on activities for children in the school holidays. It's run by a handful of staff and more than 30 volunteers. Meantime, Kent Fire and Rescue are praising the work of their volunteer unit as it also celebrates its 10th birthday. The volunteer response team is on call 365 days a year and works with crews at the scene of fires and floods. They offer emotional support and also help with practical things like finding mobile phone chargers or replacing car keys. Well, Kate's been speaking to Tom Nolan, who's one of the volunteers.
As you can imagine, these incidents we're attending are often quite horrific for the families that have lost their houses through fire or flood. So we can provide emotional support to them, reassuring them that although this is a bad day, it could have been much worse. And primarily our aim is to reassure them that everyone is okay and everything's replaceable from a physical aspect. We can also provide practical support with dealing with insurance companies, making sure they've got somewhere to stay tonight, organising emergency medications from hospitals, and dealing with pets that are displaced as well.
It sounds really simple, but things like phone chargers, you know, in a situation like that, you know, I think it would be the last thing I would think that you would think about. But even practical things like a phone charger, as you say, medication, stuff that you really just don't think about.
Absolutely. It becomes really, really difficult, as I'm sure you can imagine. After a house fire, it's things like car keys that were left inside the house that are now destroyed, create big problems, or at least in our customers' eyes, they're big problems. But they're all solvable because everything is replaceable and it can all be fixed.
This is the only team like this in the UK. Is that right?
It is indeed. So Kent Fire Rescue Service is really proud of the fact that this is the only team we know of that sends volunteers to live incidents in this role, if that makes sense. So we're not going in a firefighting role. We're not doing firefighting work, but supporting the crews, our operational firefighters and our customers is a unique team to Kent.
Why do you think it is? I mean, as soon as I read about this, I thought, well, this makes fantastic sense. I mean, what a fantastic initiative. I don't know if you know, but why it's not been picked up across the country?
It does make absolute sense. And I've got a quick stat for you. So over the last 5 years, we've supported over 2,000 people who have been affected on their most horrific day. And that's 2,000 people that wouldn't have received that in-depth support if we didn't have this team. I honestly don't know why other fire services aren't looking into doing something similar. It takes a lot of dedication from volunteers who are doing it completely for free. You know, going out on Christmas Day even on a lovely family day to support someone else's family. So, it takes a lot of dedication from our volunteers. And we're lucky that Kent Fire is the only fire service in the country that does something like this.
Stats given to us show that in the last 5 years, they've been able to offer support to more than 2,000 people.
Kent Online News.
A national search is underway for a horse that's been stolen from stables near Dover. Ozzie was taken from a yard at Cop Street in Ashe over the weekend. It's believed a black pickup truck with a trailer was involved in the theft. An appeal has been shared thousands of times on socials. Drivers have helped rescue three dogs after they were dumped by roadside in Sittingbourne. The animals were seen being left by a van driver on Ruins Barn Road before the vehicle sped off. Sian Davies was on her way home when she saw the whole thing unfold. She's told us what happened.
I saw a van come really quite quickly out with dogs running around all over the road, and then they started running after the lorry, the van. My initial thought was that he had taken it for a dog walk. This is a very popular area here where you see a lot of dogs and cars parked up. And I thought perhaps it was some terrible mistake and he had left the dogs behind. But it had dumped them. So we went, the dogs then started running further up the road, zigzagging all over. People just stopped. Everyone got out of their cars, tried to encourage the dogs back down here. And we managed to get the dogs. By this time, I think about four other cars had stopped here, pulled in here safe. We managed to get the dogs back here to us. And they were terrified, but they were lovely, friendly dogs. They wasn't difficult to catch at all.
And what sort of condition were they in?
They were in a very poor condition, which made me think these had been dumped. They were very thin. They were covered in their own sort of dog matter. They were covered in fleas.
And did you call the dog warden place?
One of the guys that stopped, his sister, I think it was, works for the RSPCA. So he promised that he would get into contact with her. And she said she would keep them, if necessary, overnight and get the dog warden on the case the following morning. So, yeah. So we left them in safe hands.
And was it quite worrying? Was it quite a stressful situation for you and everyone else?
Well, it was. People just didn't know what to make of it. But what I will say is how patient everyone was. Everyone stopped. Nobody was beeping. Nobody was trying to overtake the queue of traffic. And people were just really helpful. Everyone just wanted the right outcome for them.
It was found the dogs' microchips were out of date. They've since been found rescue placements. And a bear cat that escaped from a wildlife park in Medway has been found. There was a huge search after Suki went missing from her enclosure at the Fenbel Conservation Project in Hoo last Thursday. Staff have given an update today saying she's been recovered. She'll be checked over by a vet before being reunited with her sister, Kiki.
Kent Online Sport.
Gillingham Football Club have announced that manager Gareth Ainsworth is to have planned heart surgery this week. A cardiac issue was picked up a few months ago during a routine health check. The 52-year-old has explained more about it.
I went for the LMA health check back in May. It found something with my heart. I've got to have heart surgery this week. So sounds dramatic, but obviously it's a routine thing they do. But I'm going to be missing for probably three or four games. And all I can say is get behind Dobbo and the team. They're going to be stepping up and taking the football. You know, it's been brilliant. I'm loving it here. But this has been all planned. We've had this planned and you know, it's needed. The surgery is needed. You know, you can't mess about with the heart. And all I can say is the LMA health check has flagged this up, which is fantastic. People should probably go and get health checks because I had no symptoms. We're looking at sort of three or four games and then I'll be back. I told the boys after the game as well, so, you know, they all know. But, yeah, I wanted to do it, you know, with obviously respect for my family and all that. Like, I just wanted it out there in the right context because people will come up with all sorts of rumours. But, yeah, heart surgery this week coming. I'll be off for a few weeks and I'll be back. So, yeah, can't wait. And up the Gills.
Gareth was chatting there to the club's media team. Well, assistant manager Richard Dobson will take charge while he recovers. Meantime, Gillingham's unbeaten run in League Two this season has come to a frustrating end. They lost 1-0 to Harrogate despite having twice as many shots as the visitors. Midfielder Bradley Dack says it was a hard one to take.
It's disappointing, obviously, to lose a game we haven't lost under the manager yet. So it was going to come at some point. Disappointing that it was today at home. In front of a lot of support, who I thought was brilliant as well, to be fair. They really pushed us on in that second half. I thought it was a brilliant second half. They hardly really got out of their half. We had a lot of chances, just one of those days where we couldn't find the net. But we go again. It's about how we bounce back, and I know this squad's got a lot of character, so definitely will. We created enough chances to go and win the game today, and unfortunately we just couldn't put the ball away. Didn't have that last little bit of quality, and sometimes you need a bit of luck. We're disappointed with the goal that we conceded. We restricted them to very few chances, but listen, they scored, and we give them something to hold on to, which they did well. Listen, credit to them, they put their bodies on the line, made a lot of blocks, again rode their luck at times. So yeah, obviously disappointing, but we were in a good place. We've got a lot of characters in that team. We've got a good leader in the manager and Dobbo and good staff, so I know we'll bounce back, no doubt about it.
Staying with football, and London City Lionesses have lost 4-1 to Manchester City in the Women's Super League. The side, who train near Aylesford, conceded two penalties and are now ninth in the table. On to ice hockey, and it was a winning weekend for Kent's Invicta Dynamos. They beat Solent Devils 3-2 after penalties at Planet Ice in Gillingham last night. It follows their 4-1 victory away at Romford Buccaneers on Saturday evening. And in tennis, Kent's Emma Raducanu faces a tough match in the third round of the China Open later. She's going up against fifth seed Jessica Pegula. It follows her straight sets victory over Christina Buxa from Spain. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium, which gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.